Brian Lehrer on WNYC. If you weren't a fan of the big fat Obamacare repeal bills that have failed in the Senate this week, how about just a little skinny repeal that they're taking up next? Skinny repeal is the nickname for the latest bill, which looks to my eye like a misnomer. It should probably be short Obamacare repeal because it cuts off Obamacare at the knees, eliminating its foundation of the individual mandate to keep younger, healthier people in the insurance markets, and the employer mandate to keep the healthcare finance burden from falling entirely on individuals. Let's get the skinny from Politico healthcare correspondent Jennifer Habercorn. Thanks for doing this, Jennifer, on what I know is a very busy day. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks so much for having me, Brian.
And listeners, your calls on skinny Obamacare repeal at 212-433-WNYC. Jennifer, did I get the basics of skinny repeal right, or what would you add or change?
Yeah, you know, this is such an interesting process because Republicans right now are just trying to get an Obamacare bill through the Senate. You know, this is skinny. We don't know exactly what's in it. Right now, it's just the individual mandate, the employer mandate, and a medical device tax. But their goal is to beef that up when they have to conference the bill with the House. You know, back to Schoolhouse Rock, once a bill passes one chamber, if it's not the same as the other, they have to be conferenced. So Republicans right now, their goal is to just get it through the House, get it through the Senate so that they can conference it with the House and perhaps even beef it up there. It's really a convoluted process.
And here's New York Senator and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer yesterday on what he considers the fiction of a skinny repeal.
There's no such thing as skinny repeal. It's a ruse to get to full repeal with all the concomitant cuts to Medicaid and tax breaks, which are so unpopular and which so many of my Republican colleagues here on the other side have opposed.
So is Schumer right about that? I thought the point of skinny repeal is to not touch Medicaid right now because that proved too unpopular to repeal Medicaid, to change Medicaid was too unpopular among too many Republican senators for a fat repeal to pass. And the big tax shift, that set up Obamacare repeal and replace as a big tax break for a lot of rich Americans, that was too unpopular. So skinny repeal is designed to not include that. So is Schumer right?
He is, because the goal here is to just move a bill through the Senate, any bill through the Senate, just so you get to a conference. Republican strategy at this point is to just get senators to vote for this bill, this little skinny bill, in hopes that they can add to it in conference. It's an interesting argument because, you know, the problems that they have in the Senate, such as Medicaid that you pointed out, are, you know, going to follow them into conference, because once they're in conference, you know, if they are able to get a bigger bill out of there, both the House and the Senate are going to have to vote on it. So they're sort of using a procedural tactic to convince people, you know, this is not the end of the game. If you vote on this, you're not, this isn't your last opportunity to amend the bill. You know, they're really moving from the 40-yard line a little closer to goal here, but they're not at the 10-yard line yet.
Part of what might happen today and tomorrow, I see, is being called a votorama. What's that?
Mm-hmm. So this is the process that Republicans are using to pass Obamacare repeal does not allow Democrats to filibuster. Normally you need 60 votes in the Senate to pass legislation. Now you only need 50 because of this special process they're using. But with that special process, any senator can offer any amendment at any part of this, and it has to get a vote. So we're going to have a series of amendment votes this evening, probably dozens of amendments. Basically, as long as Democrats can keep offering amendments to try to stop this, the Senate's going to keep voting. And they'll probably start this process this evening. They'll vote every 5 to 10 minutes, probably through tomorrow morning. Like I said, as long as Democrats can hold out. And then at the end of that process, Republicans would vote on their bill that they hope to advance.
In other words, Democrats can't filibuster this bill, so it only needs a 51-vote majority. But they can, in effect, filibuster by offering an endless sequence of amendments?
That's right. But the trouble there is they have to keep all their senators on the floor. You know, most senators are up in age. They have to stay up all night, keep offering amendments. But it is an opportunity to block the bill, and it's an opportunity to force Republicans to take some tough votes. You know, Democrats are likely to offer amendments that, you know, make Republicans squirm a little bit. You know, something like, you know, are you against apple pie and you know, innocent children? And do you want to take Medicaid away from children? And Republicans are going to have to vote those down. And these votes are often found in campaign ads in the next election. But it's going to be a good opportunity for Democrats to make this as difficult as possible for Republicans.
When you say the Democrats would have to keep all their members on the floor, that means all their members would have to stay there all night. It seems like you're predicting an all-nighter for tonight. Could they, you know, go out to the bathroom, or how strict is that?
Usually these are 5-minute votes. So if you can, in theory, you can vote on one bill, let the 4 minutes expire, and come back for the next vote. So you can get a little cat nap and little bathroom break.
Right. But they all have to be present for each vote at 5-minute intervals, or they lose their right to offer additional amendments. Is that it?
Well, they just have to keep enough members on the floor for a quorum. I don't recall offhand how many that is, but it's the vast majority that have to be there.
Brian in Bronxville, you're on WNYC with Jennifer Habercorn, healthcare correspondent for Politico. Hi, Brian.
Hi. I have two questions. First is whether or not the skinny repeal is going to lead to a collapse of the individual insurance markets because of the loss of the employer and the individual mandate. So therefore, the only people who are going to sign up for insurance are those people who are sick, and this will create the death spiral that the Republicans have been clamoring about. And the second question is, I'm now at a loss to understand, and maybe the reporter can answer, what exactly the policy objective is for the Republicans, because now it seems to be just, let's win.
Jennifer?
Yeah, I think you phrased it exactly right. I mean, Republicans are now just trying to get a bill through the Senate, and there's very little focus on what it actually is. It's just something that can reach consensus of 50 Republicans. Like I said, their goal is to change it in conference. But if this bill were to pass, it would collapse the market. I should say, if this bill were to be signed by President Trump, it would collapse the market because, you know, when the Affordable Care Act was passed, if you recall, there was a lot of talk about a three-legged stool, and one of the stools holding up this law is the individual mandate. Without the individual mandate, you can get insurance coverage whenever you need it. There's no requirement to get it when you're healthy. And presumably people would just get it when they're sick if they have that opportunity. You know, why would you pay for insurance when you feel like you're perfectly healthy and insurance can be expensive? So this would have a big effect. But like I said, the Republican goal right now, at least, is to not have President Trump sign this bill. It would be to change the bill when it reaches a House-Senate conference.
The Republican argument on collapsing the healthcare exchange markets is that if young people are not forced to buy health insurance and the essential benefit standards are removed to allow for cheap, bare-bones plans that young, healthy people often prefer and might buy more voluntarily, that premiums will come down for them. They'll choose to buy those bare bones plans, and that'll help fund insurance for the middle-aged and older Americans and sicker Americans. Has the bipartisan Congressional Budget Office crunched those numbers?
Yeah, the Congressional Budget Office has scored a lot of these different plans, and there, you know, a lot of the Republican plans do lead to lower premiums, particularly for younger people. One of the main things that Republicans want to get rid of is this requirement in the Affordable Care Act that insurers charge older people no more than 3 times what they charge a younger person. And, you know, that under the ACA, young people did see their premiums go up and older people saw their premiums go down. So the reverse would happen if this is repealed. Younger people would see their premiums go down. And, of course, there is an argument, you know, like you said, if there's more young people in the market, more people paying premiums, that can be wonderful. But it's very easy to reduce premiums. You just have your deductibles go up, meaning you pay less month to month, but if you get sick, you have to pay more than you would in another plan. And, you know, Democrats have been very quick to point out that if you want to lower premiums, it's very easy to do that. But it might mean you have bad insurance coverage when you really need it.
Do you have a head count yet? Is this, quote, skinny repeal going to pass where the overweight repeal bills failed?
You know, we don't know yet. We don't know exactly what is in skinny repeal because Republicans are still negotiating it. Like I said, we know the basics, the individual mandate and medical device tax. I've talked to several Republicans yesterday, and they're leaning yes. And if I had to make a guess right now, I do think skinny repeal passes. But I do think it'll be very close. And I'm not sure that they can get it completely together by the time this Voterama ends, likely tomorrow morning. You know, it's pretty wild and pretty unusual to be voting on a bill, or at least planning to be voting on a bill so soon, when we don't know exactly what's in it right now.
One big probably yes vote that's worth mentioning by name is Rand Paul. He's been one of the no votes on these previous versions because they were too liberal for him. They kept too much of Obamacare for his taste because they kept tax subsidies to help people buy insurance on the markets and things like that. That's why he was voting no, because this is a straight repeal of selected Obamacare provisions. Rand Paul said it looks like he's going to be a yes on that. So that's one key name who would vote differently on this that I thought people might be interested in if they didn't know that fact. Let me ask you about John McCain. He gave that impassioned plea this week for compromise and regular order and said the McConnell bill earlier the week was too tough on Arizona, so he would vote no on that. But then I think after all that, he voted yes on Republican-only fat repeal. Do I have that right?
Yes. He voted for a full repeal, but he voted against the Republican repeal and replace plan. You know, he... It's been a little hard to talk directly to Senator McCain. He has been on the Hill, but obviously, you know, hasn't been talking to reporters quite as much as normal, which is not a criticism by any means, because he is very talkative with the press. But you know, he said early on, even before his diagnosis with brain cancer, that he was very concerned about the process here, and he felt like there should be hearings, there should be discussion. He criticized the backroom dealings on this bill. So his criticism of this process is longstanding. We don't know how he would vote on skinny repeal quite yet, and presumably we'll find out tomorrow morning.
Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy said after McCain's speech, and of course Chris Murphy's a Democrat, that a compromise health bill is possible around the Republican goal of allowing cheaper bare bones policies to be sold and the Democratic goal of guaranteeing stable coverage. Is anybody running with that? Or was everybody crying crocodile tears when they praised McCain's speech about bipartisan compromise?
You know, there's been a lot of bipartisan kind of whisperings around Capitol Hill over the last several weeks. People are kind of dipping their toe in that water, but very few are willing to jump right in. You know, this law has been so partisan for so long that it's very hard for both parties to get out of their defensive crouch here and actually talk about a bill that could actually get the support from the other side.
Why can't McCain, if he's healthy enough, and Susan Collins and Chris Murphy and pick a few Democrats and Republicans form one of those gangs? You know how they had a gang of eight, some Democrats, some Republicans, on comprehensive immigration reform a few years ago with Marco Rubio and some Democrats, and that failed ultimately, but there was a bipartisan plan that was an earnest attempt to break the deadlock. Why aren't there even a handful of senators to do a gang of four, a gang of six?
There have been a handful who've engaged in discussions, but it hasn't gotten any further than discussions. And I think that would only have a realistic chance of moving forward once this repeal effort dies. Because with repeal in the conversation, Democrats are very leery of even the perception that they're helping Republicans repeal this health care law. And Republicans, you know, have some loyalty to their party and don't want to be seen as, you know, making Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's job even more difficult. But if the repeal effort does go away, I think we will see folks start kind of those gang of six, gang of whatever conversations in a more earnest way. But, you know, as of right now, Democrats are still saying, well, if you want to fix the law, we need more money added into it. And that's a non-starter for Republicans. And, you know, Republicans are saying things like you got to get rid of the individual mandate, which is a non-starter for Democrats. So I can't say that both sides are, you know, fully engaging in a very honest conversation right now. But if the law, if the repeal offer does go away, that might happen.
Jennifer Habercorn, senior healthcare reporter for Politico. Thanks a lot. We really appreciate it.
Great to talk with you.